To just stand as you are comfortable as we hear our gospel reading today, which comes to us from Mark, the 7th chapter. And now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.' Then he called the crowd again and said to them, 'Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.'" This is the good news of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray together. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort and a word of challenge, a word of hope and a word of guidance for our lives. Make our hearts soft. Plant your word in us that it may bear fruit through our lives. Amen. Well, this reading from James today, it talks about being quick to listen, slow to speak. There it is, slow to speak and slow to anger. Now this perfectly describes our world today, doesn't it? No, not so much? No. In fact, it seems like the world today is almost upside down from this. A more apt description might be quick to speak, quick to anger, and refuse to listen. It seems to be our mode of operation sometimes, doesn't it? Now, what I love about this reading from James today is that it so clearly calls out the fault of all those other people that I disagree with, right? All those out there that are quick to anger and slow to listen, y'all better change your ways. Amen. Hallelujah. But the problem is that what I don't love about this text is it also clearly calls out the fault in me, right? If we're being honest with ourselves, we all struggle with this, and none of us are immune to these temptations. I know I certainly am not. You know, Martin Luther infamously referred to this letter of James as an epistle of straw. Fun fact, I don't know if you knew that. So it doesn't get a lot of traction in Lutheran circles sometimes, but my goodness, I think that James has an important and good word for our world today. So I want to dive into this reading this morning and see what the Spirit might stir up in us. So the first thing, the place to begin where James begins is this foundation that he lays, and it starts in verse 18, where he says this, "In fulfillment of God's own purpose, God gave us birth by the word of truth." So it starts here that God has given us something new, this new life, new birth through the word, not just any word, but God's word, and not just any word, but the word of truth. Why? So that we would become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures, of God's people. And then James goes on later in verse 21 and says that we would welcome with meekness, and this word meekness in the Greek actually could easily be translated as humility. I like that word a lot today. So we welcome with humility the implanted word of God that has the power to save your souls. And you see, anything else James teaches us to do or not do, it begins right here that God has done something. God has planted this word of truth in you, in me. And this is why I begin every sermon I preach with those words, "God, plant your word in us that it may bear fruit through our lives." You know, God does this. God brings us this this planting of God's word in us so that it will bear fruit, that we would be different than the ordinary state of the world out in around us. And so it begs the question, are we as Christians living any different than the world around us from day to day? You know, one of the things I cherish about how James talks about all this is he uses this language of growth and what we produce. I love how that speaks to us because we can understand that, right? Any garden, any plant, it takes time to grow. It takes nourishment and tending, right? And so if God has given us this gift, this word planted in us, the question is, do we water it? Do we tend it? Do we allow it to grow? Do we allow it to grow more and more of the character of Jesus in our hearts and in our lives? And what does that look like? Well, you know, when you think about this metaphor, my wife, Gail, has this thing that she'll say sometimes. She'll say, I have a plant problem. Right? And so there are whole weekends where it seems like all that's going on in our house is potting plants, repotting plants. I got some help today. That's great. Repotting plants, tending them, watering them, unwatering them, all these things I don't understand. Some people use their kitchen counters for cooking elaborate meals. We use it as a gardening center. And actually, this is no lie. When I got home from church last night from our service, I said to Gail, is it okay that I share that? And she said, well, I actually just went and bought a plant while you were gone. So it's true. It's true. But the thing is, that's what we do with plants. What does that mean for our spiritual lives? How do we nourish and water and tend what God has done in our hearts? James gives us an example, or a few examples of this today. He says that we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, that we wouldn't just speak at people, but live this out in our actions. In our interactions with others, that we would be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Also that we would care for our neighbors, that we would care for widows, orphans, aliens, those three vulnerable groups that God lifts up over and over and over again throughout the Bible. And when it comes to tending this word God has given us, we remember that this is a gift from God, the seed that's been planted. It's from God who loves you and who wants the very best for you. But there are other seeds that get planted and take root in our hearts sometimes, aren't there? They come from maybe various places out in the world or other people. You know, for example, in today's world, the seed of slander is very pervasive. The seed of cruelty is cast far and wide. The seed of falsehood is continually growing. The seed of outrage is abundant. And these seeds, they often come from self-serving ambitions of others and can act like parasites. Rather than seeking what is best for us, they try to seek what they can take from us. And if James tells us that growing God's word planted in us looks like being doers of the word and caring for our neighbors, these other seeds can bear a very different kind of fruit, can't they? You know, sometimes I think rather than being doers of the word, what we see in the world is people being yellers of the word, more concerned with yelling and winning than listening and loving. Rather than loving neighbors, instead calling neighbors other or even enemy. Rather than caring for the widow and the orphan and the alien, instead ignoring them or even exploiting them. And if God has planted God's word in us, then where do these other seeds come from? I mean, do they come from politicians? Well, maybe, but not only there, right? Do they come from media like cable news? Probably, but not only there. Do they come at us from social media? Probably, but also not only there. See, it's tempting to simply cast the blame elsewhere, but if we really want to address this issue, we have to look in the mirror and realize that these seeds come from within ourselves too and what we nurture. I think about whenever we share that meme that speaks slander about some public figure that we've never even met, who, by the way, is a real human being, a person for whom Jesus died. Or whenever we watch or listen to what I call infotainment that masquerades as news, those things that peddle outrage and slander to try and drive up ratings and profits, when we water these other seeds instead of nurturing the good seed God has planted in us, what does that do in our hearts? I mean, one of the questions I've been wrestling with for a while now is, what would happen if we spent as much time each day in the Bible as we do in the news? Or what would happen if we spent as much time each day in prayer as we spend on social media? I mean, what would that do to our hearts? And how might that change not only us individually, but us as a society? And I'm going to go out on a limb here this morning, and I'm going to make a bold and daring statement. I'm going to make the assertion that I think there's one thing that we can all agree on when it comes to politics. I know I just said the P word in church, but it's okay. I think there's one thing we can all agree on, and it is that we want less division and more unity and more hope. I think we all long for that, but we don't know how to get there. But here's the hard truth. Until we address the underlying division caused by Americans living in two different realities, we'll never be able to make real lasting impact in the world. And this problem of division, this problem cannot be solved by winning. It can only be solved by reconciling, by listening, by loving. And so why am I talking about this at church on a Sunday morning? Because, friends, I believe deep down in my core that for us as followers of Jesus, there is no such thing as the right and the left, only fellow beloved children of God, people made in God's image, people loved. And I believe that God has given us a cure to this disease that is plaguing the world around us. And God is calling us now more than ever to be brave enough, compassionate enough, gracious enough to live in a very radically different way, offering a beautiful alternative to that narrative of us versus them. But it begins here in our hearts. With this loving, truthful, graceful word planted in us, and the gift of a community in which we get to plant these seeds of the kingdom that bear a different kind of fruit, that bear fruit that looks like love and joy and peace and kindness. And so what does this look like practically speaking day to day? Well, I want to end with three things that maybe you can take with you this week. The first thing is this. James says it well: be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And number two, James talks a lot about, and then later chapters, about the power of our speech. He talks about the tongue and the power that has to hurt others. In fact, he talks about this so much. Do you remember that old movie, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? Anybody remember this? Yeah. One of my favorites as a kid. I think that chapter 3 of James could be called the letter of James and the tongue of doom, because he talks so much about it. Listen to some of these things that he says. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a tiny fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body and sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. It's like James is really going right now. For every species, he goes on, of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature can be tamed by human beings, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Why? And here it is. Because with it, we bless the Lord and Father, and then with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. And so I think number two would be, watch what you say. And in our digital world with the internet, we don't just have a vocal, audible thing. We have a digital voice too. So I would add to that, watch what you say, like, and share, and post. And number three, be compassionately curious. Be compassionately curious. What do I mean by this? Well, I'll give you an example. The last few weeks, I took some time to really sit down and listen, watch some of these various speeches from these things called the RNC and the DNC. And I did watch from both. I don't know if you know that, but you can do that. It is legal. But it's also a lot, right? And I didn't watch all of it because I don't have time for that. I've got three kids and a job, right? But I did make sure to watch a few key people from both of those. Why would I do that? Because, friends, I have people in my life that I love, about whom I care deeply, that call themselves Republican. And I want to understand what their hearts are feeling, what their thoughts and concerns are, and what they might see in this person. But I also have people in my life that I love and care deeply about who would consider themselves Democrat. And I wanted to see what they are concerned about, what they're hearing, and what they might see in this person. And so after I listened to all of these different speeches, I felt like I understood my siblings' hearts just a little bit better. And it wasn't easy, I confess, to watch or listen to all of this. And there were times I wanted to turn away. But the thing is, when I did it, I had to always have someone in mind that I love and care about, that I have a relationship with, to want to hear what was coming next. So whenever those big feelings would crop up or I would want to turn it off or get frustrated, I would think, wait, Josh, I want to understand how my brother feels and what they might see in this. I want to understand what my sister feels and how she might hear this. And so I listened. And I don't think any of these things really changed my mind per se, but it certainly helped expand my perspective and understanding. That's what I mean by being compassionately curious. So we can watch what we say, like, and share. We can be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, and we can be compassionately curious. And when we engage in these types of practices, it starts to bring this healing in our heart, and we start to bear a different kind of fruit. And so next week, we officially launch into our series, A Different Kind of Fruit, and we'll spend 9 weeks on each of these fruit of the Spirit that Paul lays out in Galatians. In this time in our lives, in our world, where there's so much tension, so much worry, so much anxiety, we want to be a place that can help share tools and ideas and ways to live differently, to live into this life that God has created us to live. So that regardless of what might be going on out there in the world, we can always be people filled with the Holy Spirit, bearing a different kind of fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruit of the kingdom of heaven. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for showing us what it is to love deeply enough, to love across barriers and walls and divides, and to listen deeply with compassionate hearts. God, we thank you for loving us even when we wander, even when we are quick to anger. But God, as we move into these days, weeks, and months ahead, would you help us to bear the kind of fruit of your kingdom? Would you help us to be people of peace, people of love, people of joy and hope? God, lead us and guide us, and we give you thanks for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.